When Noura Ismail was 17 years old, she was stuck in the United Arab Emirates and under the thumb of an extremist Muslim group that wanted to marry her off to a much older man in Iraq.
I think when people look at me, they just see potential wife. I almost feel like I'm a product.
Noura is a Utah and LDS. As we explained earlier this week, she was only in the situation because her family moved to Dubai for business, and the community learned her Muslim father had left the religion for Christianity. She claims apostates aren't popular in the UAE, and the community took it upon themselves to force the family back to Islam. Arranged marriage was just part of it. Amos Giora, law professor at the University of Utah, explains this kind of enforcement isn't unusual in the Middle East.
I would think that to be a Christian in any of these countries at the moment would be called tenuous. Throughout the Middle East, we've certainly seen episodes of profound violence against non-Muslims, whether Jews or Christians.
But Brett Scharfs, law professor at Brigham Young University, argues this isn't so much because of Islam, but because of extreme groups within the faith. He says you see more of that when one religion has kept control of an area for a long time.
In many countries where there are dominant religious groups, they might be Orthodox Christians in a place like Greece or Russia. They might be Buddhists in a place like Myanmar. They might be Hindus in a place like India. All of these countries struggle with religious freedom. It seems that there's a very high correlation between countries with a dominant religious group and countries that struggle with religious freedom. And what this suggests to me is that religion itself, a dominant religion especially, can be an important obstacle to religious freedom.
And when you have a dominant religion or belief, you're more likely to see social consequences for leaving that belief.
It's not unusual for communities to feel like they need to enforce religious norms through things like ostracism or shunning.
Muslims aren't the only ones with extremist elements.
You don't have to fly 24 hours, which is what it would take you to get out here. Seriously, go to Europe. Walk around Amsterdam. Walk around Paris. Walk around Belgium.
Right here in Utah, two men are accused of kidnapping their children and betrothing their underage daughters to each other. The oldest of the four girls is 8. John Coltharp and Samuel Schaefer claim to be members of a religious sect preparing for doomsday. Both men are facing serious charges in Iron County, even though they claim their actions were religious.
Here's what you're really asking. To whom does the state owe a duty? Does the state owe a duty to the religion, or does the state owe a duty to the victim of religion?
Giora is speaking to me from Israel, where he lives full time and witnesses the struggle between Orthodox, national, and secular Jews. Each group struggles with the others to determine just how involved the country should be in religion, and vice versa. A big struggle? Israel citizens have to serve in the National Army, unless they're Orthodox Jews, and then they're excused for religious study.
Secular Jews, like, or secular Israelis like myself, whose children serve in the army, are deeply troubled by the fact that the children of Orthodox Jews don't serve in the army and don't do what we call national service. And for the extreme of the religious, of the Orthodox Jews, they don't recognize the state of Israel, even though they are more than happy to accept money from the state of Israel. Decades-long conflicts that are the source of enormous political turmoil.
He says the Orthodox Jews will often target citizens they don't approve of, like a lesbian couple who Giora says tried to open up a cafe in Israel. He says the group went out of their way to make the women's lives difficult.
It's convenient to turn your, blind eye. It's not that bad.
And it can be even worse for atheists. In 2013, the Humanist and Ethical Union put out a list of 13 countries where atheism is punishable by death. All of them are Muslim-majority countries. So where is the line? And when do we go too far? Scharf has been keeping his eye on religious freedom and says over the last 10 years, fear and hatred of these extreme groups has led to less support for religious freedom overall.
The global trends for religious freedom have mostly been negative over the last decade.
He suggests part of the trend is fear of others, as globalization makes our world feel smaller and smaller.
One would think that that would lead to greater tolerance and understanding, a greater appreciation of pluralism. But what we've also seen in the last 2 years is quite a strong backlash.
In some countries, like the UAE, it means firmer commitment to just one religion. In other countries, that fear pushes against all religion. In a speech at the U.S. Religious Freedom Conference in 2016, LDS President Dallin H. Oaks defined religious freedom as the right to both choose and practice the religion of your choice. But he added in an exception, quoting Elder D. Todd Christofferson as he warned against harming others.
It is the right to exercise or practice your religion without interference from government, subject to government's responsibility to protect the health and safety of all of its citizens in a pluralistic society.
Nora agrees. In fact, in her brief return to the U.S., she completed a year of college and wants desperately to come home and work her way up to a law degree.
I have a goal to eventually give back and help girls like me one day. I want to be the voice for them.
Brianna Bodily, KSL News Radio.